Says that daf is a daf yud gimel. So let's take it five lines down. The Gemara, the two dots, quotes from the Mishnah. Ketad poten sarasai, and this is the Mishnah that taught us that when one of the wives is a erva, so then not only is she exempt from the yibim chalitza, but also all the tsaros ervas, rayos, are also pater from the mitzvah chalitza nibim. How do we know? We know how to mile. So Gemara brings two different explanations. One is, Amar Yehuda damar kra, Litzro, the Paltik says, Hatar ribsa tsaros harbay, not only the tsar, but as Rashi says, tsaros p'tura, the second layers of tsaros are also, meaning that lady, that tsara, from the original erva gets remarried to another brother, so those tsaros are also going to be exempt as well. That's the source. And according to Rav Ashi, the Gemara says, Amar Svarhi. She says, it's logical as to why not only is tsaros erva pata, but even tsaros tsarasa is also pater. Why? My time, Asira. What's the reason why the tsaros erva, the initial tsar, is Asir? Because the mamakom erva kaima. Because just like a person's brother dies, if someone's brother dies, so he can't marry one of the ladies because she's an erva, he can't marry the tsaros erva either. So that tsaros erva is in essence bimakom erva. So too, once that's the case, so tsaros tsara nami bimakom erva kaima, even the secondary tsara is also considered standing in the place of the actual erva. So it's all just a continuation of that initial erva, and it's a svara, not necessarily based on a pasuk. So now the Gemara says, Ketad in Mesuhein v'chule. So he said this is only true, the only time that we ask a tsaros erva is if when the brother dies, if she's still married to that erva at the time of death. But let's say he had divorced the erva. So let's say Reuven and Shimon. And Shimon married Reuven's daughter. So and then Shimon dies, so Reuven can't obviously do Yibam Chalitz with the daughter, neither can he do it with the tsara of the daughter. But let's say Shimon divorces the daughter. And then Shimon dies, so then Reuven would be allowed to do Yibam Chalitza with the Tzara, because at the moment of Misa, Shimon was no longer married to Bas Reuven. Has to be, who is he married to? Bishas Misa. So Gemara says, Ve'afilu kanas ulvasof girash. Even if they first got married, meaning Shimon married the daughter Reuven, and then got divorced, that's also acceptable. What does that even mean? So look at Rashi. So Rashi says, two narrow lines down. Nisgarsha, if Shimon were to divorce the daughter Reuven, then tsarosein mutaros. That's from the Mishnah. So Rashi explains, Ve'afilu kanas achiv es anachris, uvasof girish es bas achiv. Even if Shimon, let's say, gets married to another woman, a tsara, and in the end he divorces the daughter of Reuven, the havelu tsara zulazu kodim gerishin, even though there is a moment in time where Shimon was married to both the daughter of Reuven and some other lady, and those were tsaras with each other, afil hachi kesharina le yivumim. Still, Reuven's allowed to perform yibum with tsaras bas, because since he divorced, or Shimon divorced the daughter, bishas misa, it was no longer considered tsaras erva. So Rashi says further, kedekatani umesu bito onisgarsha. If Reuven's daughter either died first or was divorced by Shimon first, it's permitted. Why? Hol bishas nefila lohayu tsaras zulazu. Because the moment that Shimon died, they were no longer considered tsaras because he had already divorced or the daughter already had died. So that's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara asks a question, is that really true? Uriminhi, we ask a question from the Mishnah later on Daf Lamed. Shlosha Achim, three brothers, Shnai Mehen Nisuin Beis Achayos. Three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. Ve'echan Nasei Nachmis, and one's married to just a random woman. Girish Echan Mibale Achayos, one of the brothers married to his sister. He divorces that sister. The Achayos Ishto, Umeis, then he dies. So now the Megarish dies. And Nosei Nachris, the one who was married to some other woman, Ukansa, Megarish. Let's read it. Echa Nosei Nachris, read it again. Girish Echa Mibale Achayos Ishto. So that first, again, the brother who married his sister divorced the wife, who was his sister. And then Meis HaNosei Nachris. Then the third brother, who's married to Nachris, he dies. Ukansa Megarish. Megarish is the one who marries the widow of the Nosei Nachris, the third brother. Umeis, and then the Megarish dies now. So now he has his widow is only the Nachris, right? The sister, he already had divorced her, so she's not in the picture anymore. So the only one really is the Megarish, is the widow of the Nachris. So Umeis, Zuhi Sha'amru, that's the case we say, Shemesu Onisgarshu Tsarosem Mutars. This is an example whereby since he was divorced, or she had died, you're allowed to marry the tzara. Now, this is an interesting case here, because there's never a moment in time where this brother had been married to the sister and the nachris at the same time. He had first divorced the sister, then he married the brother's nachris. So, taima, the Gemara says, this only makes sense. Why? Because first, the girish, first he divorced one of the sisters, v'charkach kanas, then he married that third woman. Aval, had it been a case where kanas, if he first married the third woman while he is married to the sister, so they were tzaros at the same time, even had he been acharkach girish, even if he had divorced the sister, that nachos would still be considered tzaros erva and would be usher to the last brother standing. Lo, it wouldn't work. So this is the opposite, goes against, this diik goes against what we have said above. Again, if there was ever a moment in time where the erva and the tzara were married together to the same man, they remained tzaras forever, even if there had been a divorce or a death. So she remains a tzaras erva forever. So that's the kasha. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Tivra, this is a mistake, it's not correct, it's not accurate. Misha shanazu, lo shanazu. The one who taught our Mishnah is not the same Tana who taught the Mishnah on Dav Lamed. They're two different Tanaim with two different criteria. Hai Tana Savar Misa Mapelas, Vai Tana Savar Nisun Harishon Mapilim. I mean, what is the driving force? So our Mishnah on Dav Beis holds that we look B'Shas Misa. Are they married or are they not married? I don't care if once before they had been married at the same time and they were once Saros. B'Shas Misa, B'Shas Nefila, are they married or they're not married? If they're not married anymore, then the Tzaros Erva would be permitted. But the Mishnah later on, Daf Lamed, holds that Nisum Harishon Mapilim, that we go based on an initial marriage. If there was ever a point in time where they'd been married to the same man, there would be Tzaras Erva, even though Shas Nefila, they may have been divorced, and they're no longer Tzaras Erva, but that Chalos Shem Tzaras Erva remains in her forever, and that's the understanding of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed. Just look at Rashi, just to kind of reinforce this. Rashi writes, Hai Tana de Masnis in our Mishnah, Daf Beis. Savar Misas Habal, Mapelas Nashav Libam. It's the death of the husband, which defines and declares who's going to be allowed or not. Hilkach Hafilu Kanas, Uvasov Girish, even though they had been married at the same time and there was a divorce, Kevin the Bashas Misa, Lav Tsar Sabasi, Sharia. Since the moment of death, they were no longer considered co-wives, the Tsar's Erva would be permitted to the brother. The Tana, the Mishnah, or the Brisa later on, Savar, Nisun Harishonim. It was the initial marriage, Shahisha Nises Lebaila, that when she had been married to the husband, that's what defines everything. Ma'pinos alibam. That initial Nisuin is what's being passed on to the brother. Not Shas Misa, but Shas Nisuin. Hilkach Mishinas is Tsaris Erva, Sha'achas. If there's one moment in time where they had been co-wives together, Asur Olama, she remains a Tsaris Erva forever, and there is no need or not allowed to have Ibam or Chalitza for Tsaris Erva.
Yeah. In the case that was set up, they were never married at the same time. It says he divorced.
Which case? The Mishnah or the Braisa?
The quote, the Mishnah or the
Braisa? The Braisa is the Shlosh Achim.
That's the Shlosh Achim. It says the kid, it says.
Exactly, that's the point. They were never married at the same time.
Never married.
That's the point. And we implied, had they been married at the same time, then Ibn Chalitza wouldn't be allowed. But our Mishnah.
That because they were never
exactly. So Gemara says there are two different authors. And then the Gemara says, no, Rava Amar Liola Mechatanu. The truth is, it was the same exact Tana who wrote Daf Beis and Daf Lamed. So what's the difference? Vizu Vein Terach Lomar Zu Katani. Sometimes the Gemara invokes this concept. It was needless to say. In other words, the real Chiddush is the Mishnah and Daf Beis. That not only if they had been never married at the same time, but even had they been married at the same time and there was Tzaras Erva, if Bishas Misa there was a Gerushin, that the Tzaras Erva would be allowed. But not only that case, but even a more simple case, where had they never married at the same time, they got divorced before he married the second woman, they were never co-wives, even that case is also mutter. Even though there's no chiddush at all, sometimes the Mishnah teach us that which is unnecessary. It's what we call the zoo, ain't tarach l'marzo. I don't have to teach you the less obvious case, but we'll teach it to you anyways. So there is no contradiction. Don't make a dik from the b'rais of Shlosha Achim Shnayim Hem Nisun v'chule.
You also said, just real quickly, the mission before was also dealing with the case of three brothers, two sisters, one nachri, and it was a different circumstance. So often they'll just use the same fact pattern, even though it doesn't necessarily
teach a chiddush, but just we use a construct.
Just because right. Once you have the framework, they just continue to use the same framework. So it makes sense also.
Okay, very good. So then the Gemara says another piece of the Mishnah as follows. The Chol Sheyachol Lema'in V'chulei. So the Mishnah tells us that if, let's say, the Reuven, Shimon's married to a daughter of Reuven. And the daughter's a katana, let's say. How it happens, because a katana really can't get married only when her father's not in the picture anymore. But it could still happen if the father married her off once, and then she got divorced, or her husband died, she's then independent, she could get remarried. So now Shimon's married to a katana, who's a boss of Reuven. So that's a case of a katana, you could refuse the marriage. She could say, I want to opt out, she could be the ma'in. So even though normally Tsaras Bito would be Aser, not only is the Bito Aser to Reuven, but even Tsaras Bito, but if Shimon was married to a katana, and the boss could do a miyun, I don't want to get married to you, that would release him from the marriage, and then the Tsar would not be considered Tsaras Erva. So the Mishnah uses the language of Chol Shiachol L'Main, if she's able to do miyun, in that Kedushin, since she's only katana, it's really a Durabanan relationship, below Miana, and she doesn't end it, but she would have been able to, the Dinis Tarasa Choletzes Vlo Mishabemes. Really, since it's not really a Kedushin, the Tsar's Erva is really allowed. Really, Yibum's allowed, but since it looks funny, looks like Tsar's Erva, we only say Chalitza, but Chalitza is necessary. By a real Tsar's Erva, you don't do Chalitza to Tsar's Erva. In this case, you do Chalitza, that's the Din. So now the Gemara explains as follows. V'timayin, hasha, v'tisyabim. So why not let the Bas Reuven, who's a katana, let her do miyun right now with Shimon, end that relationship, and then Tsar's Erva will not be Tsar's Erva, she'll be just a wife. And then Reuven could perform Yibam, with the Ashes Shimon. Just knock the daughter out of the picture by doing miyun right now. So Gemara says, Lema Messiah, let's say the fact that we don't allow that, it must go according to Rabbi Yoshaya. Who's Rabbi Yoshaya? The Amar Yoshaya, what does he say? Mima'enes limamaro veno mima'enes lizikaso. Mian doesn't work in every situation. Mian is very limited when it applies. It only works by Mimer. Mimer is, we'll look at Rashi in just a moment, but Mimer is, let's say you have a case of Shimon dies, and Reuven is Zakuk, the Ashes Shimon. So now, they are supposed to perform Yibum Chalitza, but beforehand they do Kedushin. They do what's called Mimer, just to kind of lead into the Yibum. So here's a Kedushin, it's unnecessary, but they get married with Kedushin when there's a Zika. That's called Mimer, it's a low-level Kedushin, and then the din is that Mian could undermine the mimer, but doesn't undermine the initial zika. Meaning, what happens is, let's say Reuven performs a mimer with the Ashes Shimon, and she says, "I want to opt out." So she first does mian; she refuses that mimer is undone, but then it falls back to the zika still existed between the two of them. Then there's a need for a chalitza on top of that. So he holds that mian only works for the mimer level, but doesn't work for the zika level. Look at Rashi to explain this. Rashi says around 8 narrow lines up. Rashi says, L'mamaro, that mean works for only Mimer. Who dimamenes? She refuses this Mimer. Shimasa hayavam, Mimer biyavama. Katana. If the Yavam performs this type of Kedushin, a Mimer, with his potential Yavama, umyanabo, and she refuses this Mimer, mafkiya mian, it's a Mimer. The mian undermines the Mimer, that Kedushin. V'chazor l'zika levada. And then it goes back to the initial Zika that existed from Shemayim, that when the Shimon died, there was this automatic connection between Reuven and Ashes Shimon. V'choletz, and there's a need for chalitza. So yeah, if you do mean in this case here, mean will not end the won't end the relationship. So Rashi says further, vein mema'enes lezikaso la'akor nesun harishonim. Mean doesn't end the initial marriage. Lafkia zikas yibom volates below chalitza to not require chalitza at all. So Hachanami here as well, says Rashi, Gabe Erva, when there's a case of an Erva here, where Reuven and Shimon's married to the daughter of Reuven, and Shimon dies, Hachanami Gabe Erva, lo akar la miyun dehasha l'nisuin kamai, l'mishe tarasa. So even if Ashes Shimon, and who's the daughter of Reuven, wants to perform miyun, miyun can only end a mimer, a new marriage. But to end an initial marriage, a nisun kamai, that she had been married to Shimon earlier, that much miyun doesn't work, and that's why the Gemara can't suggest, do miyun and allow Reuven to marry the other wife of Shimon. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara says, no, don't prove that to me. That's not a raya, lo. Maybe this case is very different. Maybe we don't hold the Rav Roshaya. Maybe really miyun can end an initial relationship. But this is not just stama relationship of mian ending a mimer, ending a zika. This is a little bit more complicated because here we're talking about Tsaras Erva. Tsaras Erva is a little bit more tricky, shiny. It's different in this case because it looks different. It looks strange because if Shimon was married to the daughter Reuven and then there's a co-wife as well, to the outside world, it looks like Reuven's marrying Tsaras Erva. Now, even if, let's say, we allow the daughter to do mian and really mikra din, there's no longer a marriage and she's not in the picture and the daughter's out of the picture, and Reuven can marry Ashes Shimon, it looks strange. It looks like he's marrying Tzaris Erva, and therefore they asked it, even though fundamentally it could really work. And that's what the Gemara says here. That Tzaris Erva Shaini, the Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel, Mi'ana Bibal, Mutaris La'aviv. Let's say a man marries a katana. No case of Erva, just this regular case. Marries a katana, and then she says, I want out. She does Mi'un. So she ends that relationship. She's allowed to marry her ex-husband's father, her father-in-law. That's allowed because there's no Erva at the time. It doesn't look that strange. There's a Mi'un. But however, Miyana biyavam asura la'aviv. But if a woman who's a yavama to a yavam, and then she refuses the yavam, she cannot marry the father of the yavam. She can't marry her father-in-law once there's a zika. Because that the inyan of miyan could only end a relationship that was created by Adam, if there was a kedushin of some sort. But it can't undo a relationship that was created by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was a zika that came from a death of a brother, that was automatic from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the zika, that much it can't undo. Because that's already talking about erva. We'll look at Rashi to explain a little bit further here. Alma, mishas nefila nears kekalasa, because when Shimon died, and Reuven was zakuk to the yavama now, even if she ends the relationship with Reuven with Miyun, and she wants to marry Reuven's father, it looks like they're already, she was a daughter-in-law. She was already married to Reuven, because when Shimon died, there was an automatic relationship between Reuven and this Ashes Shimon. It looks like she's the Kala, the daughter-in-law of Reuven's father. It just looks very funny. We won't allow her to marry the father Reuven. Hachanami here as well. Mishas Nefila, the moment Shimon died, Reuven was zakik to the daughter and Tzaris Erva. So something looks strange to end that relationship with the daughter and allow Reuven to marry Tzaris' daughter, Tzaris' Bas. That looks very strange, and therefore nearest Katsar's Bito, and therefore we ask it because the way it looks, the appearance, even though technically the mean really would be effective. Okay, fine. So now the Mishnah says as follows. Sheish Arayos Chamuros Me'elu. There are six other Arayos that were not mentioned in the first 15, or 16 rather, mentioned in the first Mishnah, the Masechta, that are more severe than those. What are these six? So if you look at Rashi, explain what the Chumr is. The Chumr is, Rashi says, Sheish Arayos Yesh Chamuros Me'elu. There's six arousals that are even more severe. In what way? Umau chomer shelahem. What's the chomer? What's the severity? Shenesuos lacherim. They can get married to others. V'einan yichon lihinasei la'achim avi. But they can't get married to the brother. In other words, if it's Reuven and Shimon, so there are arousals that, let's say, Shimon's own mother and Reuven cannot marry Shimon's mother. I mean, let's say Reuven's married to Shimon's mother, and then there's Tzaras Imo. So just like Shimon's mother is an erva to him, it's also an erva to Reuven. Certainly if they have the same mother. But let's say they have different mothers. They share the same father now. So now they have two different mothers. So it might be Reuven's mother that Shimon's married to. But to Shimon, that's his father's wife. It's Eish's Achiv, Eish's Aviv rather. Shimon can't marry that. So these are six arayos where the erva won't be Nesuin, the Kedusha won't be Chal at all. All the other arayos, the 16 arayos, Shimon was allowed to marry that person. To him, it wasn't an erva. It was only an erva to Reuven. But there are six cases where not only is an erva to Reuven, but it's also an erva to Shimon. So the kedushin isn't even chal. If it's not chal, it won't affect the tzara's erva because there's nothing to even speak about. So what are the six examples whereby it's more chamer, where it doesn't knock out the tzaros because there's never a kedushin in the first place? Says the Gemara, Shei Sharayos Chamuros Me'elu, Mipnei Shenesuos La'achem, because they can get married to others, but they can't get married to Reuven or Shimon. Tzarosein Mutaros. These cases, the Tzaros, the co-wives, would be allowed because we don't acknowledge the Chalos Kedushin of the Erva. Imo, his own mother. In other words, Reuven's, let's say Shimon's mother is married to Reuven. So we said before, Reuven can't marry, even though it's not Reuven's mother, it's still Reuven's father's wife. So the Kedushin is in Chal and doesn't ask for the Tzaros. That's one example. Or Eish Aviv. If it's Shimon's father's wife, not his mother, his father's wife that's married to Reuven, well, it's also Reuven's father's wife as well, because they share the same father. If it's Achos Aviv, if Shimon's father's sister, his aunt, is married to Reuven, it doesn't work for Shimon, because again, Reuven and Shimon share the same father. So whatever it is to Shimon, it's also the same to Reuven. So if it's Shimon's father's sister, it's also Reuven's father's sister. It won't be Chal in either instance. The Achos Aviv, we did that one already. The Achoso Me'aviv, it's if it's her sister from the father, that's Shimon's sister from his father, well, that means it's also Reuven's sister from the father because they all share the same father. So they have half-sisters, just like Shimon can't marry her, so the Reuven can't marry her. The Ashes Achi Aviv, if it's their father's brother's wife, so the uncle's wife, that's his aunt, so just like it's Shimon's father's brother's aunt, sister, father's brother's wife, so it's Reuven's father's brother's wife. They have the same exact father, so it's asa to both them. The Eish is Achiv Mi'aviv, or their brother's wife. They're just like it's Shimon's brother from their father's wife, so the Truvain's brother's wife from their father. They share the same father. So these are six instances where since their rivals are equally asa to Reuven and Shimon, the Kedushin is in Chal, and it will not asa the Tzaros. Okay, excellent. So now the Mishnah says, now it gets a bit easier the rest of the daf. Beis Shammai, in general, is matirin ha-tzaros le'achim. He thinks that the brothers are allowed to marry tzaros, although Reuven can't marry his own daughter from Shimon now, even though Shimon's married to her, it will not ask that there's no such thing as tzaros bito. According to Beis Shammai, you can marry the tzaros. So you can't marry his daughter, but the other tzaros are allowed of Shimon to be married to Reuven. Beis Hillel, as we saw up until now, was osen. He says tzaros erev is actually aser. We'll see two different reasons why Beis Shammai allows for it. Then the Mishnah says further, Mishnah says, once you have this machlokas between Beis Hillel and Shammai, whether Tzaris Erva is it requires Chalitza and Yibam or doesn't, so then Chalzu, if let's say, in Beis Shammai's world, if Reuven performs Chalitza to Tzaris Erva, it's Chal, because Tzaris Erva is Chayiv in Yibam Chalitza. And if you do Chalitza, so Chalitza is Chal, and that means she's a Chalutza, and it's Psulim and Akuna. She can't marry Karin, which is just the regular halachas. But Beis Hillel, Machshin, he says it's allowed, because since he holds Beis Hillel, Tzaros Erva is potter from the chalitza. If you do chalitza to a random person on the street, it's not chal. There's no chalitza. So doing chalitza to a tzaros erva is also it's meaningless and has no effect. Nisyamu, which is an obvious point, the Gemara point out, if yibum is performed, so on this tzaros erva, according to Beis Shammai Machshin, that's allowed because that's kosher. You're supposed to do yibum or chalitza even with tzaros erva, according to Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Hillel, it would be posen, he apostles such as instance, it would be a bias iser, it would be znus, and this woman would be aser to Karin because she'd be considered a zona. So this is the big machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai about Tzaris Erva. So now Afapi, She'elu Osin, Veil Matir, and even though Beis Shammai asered such people, and Beis Hillel permitted, or whatever the case is, whichever case we're talking about, they had different opinions about Tzaris Erva. Elu posen and machshirin, these cases are allowed, these are not allowed. Lo nimenu Beis Shammai Milisa Nashim Beis Hillel. Nonetheless, even though they had different criteria of who's considered allowed or not allowed, still they did not hold back from marrying within each other's families. Lo Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai and Kol Ataros in a different topic. Kol Ataros v'Tameos Shayu Elu Mataren Ve'Elu Matamen. They had a machlokes in many other areas of Shas, and Beis Hillel says one way, Tamei Tahar. Beis Shammai says the other way. Even though that was the case, Lo nimenu osin taros elu al gabe elu, they'd still trust each other in terms of sharing kalim and other food. Why is that the case? Shouldn't they be concerned of marrying mamzerim? So Rashi explains two narrow lines down. Lo nimenu v'chule v'yafal pisha b'nei atzaros shenisyabu ke Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, the tzaros erva is allowed, and you can have yibum. Reuven could perform yibum with tzaros erva, the tzar of his own daughter. That's allowed. Now, although Beis Shammai allows for that, in the world of Beis Hillel, that's called mamzerim heim le Beis Hillel. That's a mamzer. So how could they allow this intermarrying of mamzerus? Says Rashi, Sharei iser eishes achi alem v'eishes ach v'karis. So according to Beis Hillel, if Reuven marries a tzaros erva, that's a mamashin eishes ach, and that's an iser erva, resulting in mamzerus. Ubnei raios shehein chayde krisos mamzerim. So what's the reason? Kedamin mepirkan. Nonetheless, they still married each other. Lo nimnu Beis Hillel milisa nashim Beis Shammai. Why? This is the answer. Lefishayu modin lehem osin habos me'atzaros proportion. They explained they wouldn't hide the facts. They said, listen, this family is not for you, Beis Hillel. This is a family in your world is mamzerim. Stay away from that family. There's a tzaros erva involved here. But marry this other family. They trust each other. Who was the yichus of tzaros erva and who was not? Now the Gemara says and wants to know, what's the reason why Beis Shammai allows and requires Yibam Chalitza in the case of a tzaros erva? So Amar Rebbe Shimon, there's two answers to the Gemara. The first one's the longer answer, the other one's a little shorter. Amar Rebbe Shimon ben Pazi Ma'ai, time of the Beis Shammai, why does he say tzaros erva is not usher, but it's actually mutter and Yibam Chalitza is necessary? Dichsiv lo siya I eishes hames hachutza liish zar. So this is the context of Yibam. I'll read the whole pasuk on the side, 1 second. Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtim, two brothers on the world at the same time. Umeisecham him, one dies, who ben ain't low without children. Los Yeshes Hames Hachutza Lishzar, that the wife of the mace, she should not go to some other man, rather Yivama Yavala. The Yavam Shibala Lukacha Lolisha Vayibma. So that's the din. So that she can't marry someone else, she's Zakuk to the Yavam, to the brother who's alive. So now this is the deek of Beis Shammai. Says chutza. What do you mean chutza? Chutza, outside of her. What do you mean chutza? Mechlal dika pnimis. It sounds like there's an inner person. The two wives sound like there are two wives there. She's the chutza, and there's a penimis. The penimis is the karov, is the erva, and she's the tsaris erva. So the erva, so Shimon dies with two wives. One was penima, that's they call the daughter, let's say the erva ruin. That's not allowed. But the chutza, the one who's distant from ruin, the tsaris erva, that's allowed. That's his right. The tsaris erva is permitted to the yavam. So again, mechlal dika penimis. Don't marry someone else, Ella, marry the Yavam. That's his right that Tsar's Erev is allowed. That's an interesting drasha. Beis Hillel says, no, that's not the word chutza. The word chutza teach me a whole other halacha. How do you know, let's say the Yavama is zakuk to the Yavam. They didn't perform chalitza, didn't know Yivam yet. They're just they're attached to each other right now. And she tries to get married to somebody else from the shuk. That doesn't work. Shenemar losia eishes hamesa chutza liish zar losia bahavai lazar. There's no condition will be chal if she attempts to marry someone else before chalitz is performed with the yavam. Rashi explains what's the chiddush here. Rashi says that she ain't kedushin tovsin biyavama yavama shlo chalitza. She never had chalitza performed yet. Minayin im niskadshel l'shuk. How do we know if she tried getting married while she's still zakuk to the yavam? She'ain kedushin tovsin. The alpha gav, this is the chiddush. Even though the chayavi lavin ba'alma tofsi kedushin, even though in general, when there's only a chiv lav, the kedushin is chal, and right now the lav is that she can't marry somebody else. It's only a lav, not an erva, not Mises Bezdim. So seemingly it should be chal if she attempts to marry somebody else. Kamash Malan, the project says that chutzalo, someone who's distant, who's outside of her, a zar, it's not going to be chal. That's the chiddush according to Beis Hillel. It's not available for a drasha to teach you that there's a chutza and there's a penimis. It's not a case of tzar's erva. So the Gemara then says that Ubei Shammai miksev lachutz, let's say lachutz, lachutz would have been more appropriate to the outside. Chutza ksime, chutza seems like it's describing who she is. It's an adjective on her. She's a chutza versus a penimi. But penimis, but lachutz, that would have been more appropriate according to Beis Hillel, to marry someone who's outside. That's not what it says. It doesn't say lachutz. So Beis Hillel responds back, something we know, grammar that appears in the Torah many times. Beis Hillel kevin dechseva chutza kiman dekosev lachutz. We have many instances the Gemara is about to bring. They're describing going to a certain location. We put a hey at the end of the letter, which is equivalent to a lam in the beginning, two. So chutza is equivalent to lachutz. So how do we know this? It says the lachutz dami. Command the chesiv lachutz dami. The Tanya Rabbi Nechemya Omer koteva shetzricha lamed b'tchila. So any word that requires a lamed in the beginning, you go to this place. It's hitilei akasav hay b'sof. In many instances, the pasuk puts a hay at the end, which has the same exact translation. The Tanya the baby Shmo that kigon all these different places alim elima mechanaim mechanaima mitzrayim mitzrayima yivlasaima yushlaima midbara. All these are instances where the hay at the end really means there's a lam in the beginning. So to chuta means lachutz, that she can't marry someone outside. That's Beis Hillel's drasha and not referring to a tzaris erev at all. Beis Shammai responds back. Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda Marav Minalehu. How does he know that lav that was mentioned above, that if a yivama, while she hasn't had chalita yet, she's not allowed to marry somebody else from the shuk? Has he know? Milish zar nafka. The pasuk says milish zar. Don't marry someone else. It's pretty explicit. You don't need a drasha for this. You don't need chutza. Milish zar. Don't marry somebody else. The pasuk says the lish zar yiva losia eishes ameis hachutza lish zar. Lish zar means don't marry somebody else. So Beis Hillel nami naf tepikle milish zar. So Beis Hillel should also use the drasha milish zar, not use the word hachutza. Einachanami right. So then, according to Beis Hillel, if he learns that lav of her marrying somebody else is from the words milish zar, what does he do? Chutza lamili. What does he do with that drasha? L'rabos ha'arusa. That even an arusa would be also. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. L'rabos arusa. Shim nisarmala min ha'erisim tzichal yavam kinesuam. Let's say Shimon was only engaged to a woman, not married. If she was married and Shimon dies, certainly yibum chalitz is necessary. But if she was only engaged, how do we know there's still a requirement of the yavam through an engagement? V'chutza mashba chitzona shlonis karva adayin libiya. Where they weren't fully married yet. She was still distant. Shimon only performed erisin, so there's some distance between Shimon and his wife, and then Shimon died. That too, she's also to marry somebody else until chalitz is performed by the Yavam. That's the chiddush of chuta, and not teaching me about a case of tzaras erva at all. V'idach, Beis Shammai says, michuta hachuta. The extra hey teaches me that halacha of arusa, and the other hey teaches me the halacha of tzaras erva. And idach, Beis Hillel says, chuta hachuta l'mashvele. He does not make a drasha from the extra hey in the beginning, and therefore, that's the machlokas between Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, based on the drasha of hachuta. Then comes on Rava. Rabbah says, no, I have a whole other reason why Beis Shammai does not aser tars erva, but rather it's required. What's the dinner? So Rabbah amar tamayu de Beis Shammai de ein iser chal iser. This is the first time I think we're seeing the parak here about ein iser chal iser. We're going to see a lot more about this in the Masech. It gets pretty confusing in general. Today it's not so confusing. But Beis Shammai holds ein iser chal iser. Once there's one iser, there cannot be a second iser on top of that. So you have to walk through this a little bit slowly now. So Tenech, this makes sense. Hecha denasa mace, let's call Shimon the one who died. So he's the mace. So denasa mace, the mace Shimon, before he died, he got married, obviously. He can die and then get married. We call him the mace because he ends up dying. So denasa mace, so Shimon gets married first. Vacharkach nasachai, and then Reuven gets married afterwards. So when Shimon got married first, his wife was Eshes Ach to Reuven, right? Eshes Ach to Reuven, that's an erva. Now, when he gets married afterwards to, let's say, a sister, we'll call the case, then now the Isser Achos Isha comes on top of that. But since Lo Asi Isser Achos Isha, V'chala Isser Eshidach, but we don't allow, he's Ein Isser Chal Isser, so the Isser Eshes Achosa cannot be Chal, Achos Isha rather, can be Chal in the already existing Eshidach. So this makes sense, in other words, that Eshidach, now Reuven and Shimon, so Shimon's wife is Eshidach to Reuven, that's all. Even though it's also, it's also his wife's sister, we don't acknowledge it as being the wife's sister because the first Isser that was Chal was Eshizach. So ignore that case of Achos Isha. That's exactly the case. So now what happens is, so all Reuven and Shimon is now, Shimon's wife is a classic case of Eshizach. And Yibum in general allows an Eshizach, as if forgetting it was Erva. Even though the mice is an Erva, the Erva is not Chal halachically, and therefore a classic case, Shimon dies, Reuven marries Eshizach. Just like he can marry Eshizach, he could also marry Tsaros. And that's why Tsaras Erva would be allowed. So that makes sense in that case. Now, then what about the other case? Ella Nosachai, but let's say first Reuven gets married. So now this Reuven's wife's sister is Asatim. And that because of Achos Isha. And then afterwards the Achakach Nasa Mace, then the Mace, Shimon, marries Reuven's wife's sister. So now the problem here is Achos Isha Kadam. Now the Isser of the sister's wife, the wife's sister, comes first. So now, Shimon's wife is Aser because Achos Isha, not because Eshizach here. So now, just like that, she's Aser, so too Tsar's Erva should be Aser as well. So how are you going to explain that case, how Tsar's Erva would be allowed, according to Beis Shammai? So Gemara says, Kevan Dilo, here one time, El Nasachai V'Hakach Nasa Meis, Achos Isha Kadim, Achos Isha came first. Since the second iser of an eshach is not chal on the first one, havle tsaris erva shlobo makom mitzvah v'sharis. So now you have to pay attention to what's going on here. We don't view Shimon's wife now as eshach anymore. Eshach is in chal because all we care about is achos isha. So there's no eshach here. If it's not eshach, when Shimon dies, there's no mitzvah to marry that wife, because she's not viewed as an Eshizach anymore through Reuven. She's simply viewed as Achos Ishta. So we ignore her. She's really out of the picture. There's no mitzvah Yibam anymore. And then the other wife of Shimon, this other Nachris, becomes a just Stam Eshizach, and that's why she's permitted through Reuven. It's not called Tsaras Erva anymore, because she's not, the only time we have a Makom of Yibam, if there's an Eshizach to even speak about. That first wife of Shimon, who's the Achos Ishta, she's Achos Ishta. We don't view her as Eshizach anymore, because Eshizach came second. And therefore, there's no mitzvah of Yibam in that case, and Tsaras Erva would be allowed because it's not really viewed as Tsaras Erva. It's a bit tricky, probably requires going through it a little bit, but that's the second reason, Rava, about Ein Isser, Chal Isser.
Is it essentially saying that the wife never felt the Yibam, basically? Is that essentially...
Yeah, the first wife never felt the Yibam because she's not considered an Eshizach.
The sister never felt the Yibam, so the Tsara is not in the same category.
Exactly. She's not called an Eshizach.
One woman just felt the Yibam.
Exactly.
Literally, if they take that truly literally, then the guy only had one wife who was Achos Isha, but he got married first, then he should be Miyabim Bar.
Achos Isha, if he got married first, so meaning we're only talking about the Tsara. What about the woman herself? The woman herself.
If you take Beis Shammai literally, take the Shita literally, then you should do Yibum with the Erva herself.
Right.
If he got married first.
But you always have one Issa, no matter which way.
But if the only Issa is Eshes Ach, he's saying, that's the first Issa that's Chal, and we don't view that as Achos Isha, the secondary Issa. So Eshes Ach should be Chal, and he should perform Yibam with that Eshes Ach. See, I'm not sure. We'll look into that after. I think Tosa addresses this, actually. 1 second. Look at Tosa. Dilo Asi Isser Achos Isha. V'chala is Eishadach. In other words, all there is Eishadach Isser, and that should be allowed, right? Ask Tosos, Vim Tomar. Kevin de Isser Achos Isha Lochail. Tis Yabim Erva Gufa. Marry the wife herself if the first Isser was an Eishadach Isser only. V'Eishlomar de Isser Achos Isha Mitzla Talai. It hangs, it's there in the background. V'Paka Isser Eishadach. If you undo that Isser, then because the Shimon dies, then Asi V'Chala Hilchach, and then the secondary Isser Dischal. And therefore, lo paka. That's his chiddush. Yeah.
Remove Eishazach and then the other one moves.
Exactly, right. Okay, let's finish off the daf. Now the Gemara says as follows, that chaltzu beishame posim. So, beishame said that the tzaras erva is actually permitted and required to do yibum chalitza. And if one does chalitza, so she's a chalutza. Ask them, Pshita. That's very obvious, of course. What's the chiddush here? So, lafuke, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, damar, boi v'niskan lehem letzaros, shu chalutzos v'lo mesyabmos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri suggests, since there's a machloket beisil beishame, Beis Hillel says Taras Eva doesn't require anything. Beis Shammai says Taras Eva requires Chalitza. Let's just make Shalom and always require Chalitza. This way everyone agrees. What's the harm for Beis Hillel? Just do Chalitza, just those machlokas. No harm done. So that's what one would think. Maybe you should do Chalitza in the world of Beis Hillel. Kamashwam, Beis Hillel Machshir. No, if you want to do Chalitza and you want to do the suggestion, it won't be Chal and she does not become a Chalutza. She really remains Kasher nonetheless. Then the Gemara says, Nisyamu Beishel Psosim. So just like we said, Chalitza, that were the results. If Yibum was performed also, the same halachas would apply. Everything carries through. The logic is pretty simple. Ask the Gemara, Hasulamli, what's it need to teach me this? Once I tell me that Tsaras Erva is a chayv according to Beis Shammai, so Chalitza, it's Chalutza, and Yibum would be kasher. What's the chiddush here? So Hasulamli, I do the Tana Chalitza, Tana Nami Nisyamu. It was unnecessary, but they wanted to just have consistency and just kind of speak out all the cases, maybe because in general, Yivamos is very unclear, so maybe the best to point out every single avenue, and that's why the Mishnah went ahead, but there's no real Chiddush in this case. So now the Gemara says, we'll finish with this. This is a long piece, we're going to just get started here. It goes deep into the next stop here, but we'll get the train moving a bit. It's a nice connection to both Purim and Pesach now, as we're in between these two Yom Tovim. The Tzan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us at the very beginning, the first daf, first Mishnah, Maseches Megillah, Megillah Nikreis B'Achadasar, B'Shemasar, B'Shloshesar, B'Arbasar, B'Chamishasar, L'Pachas L'Yoser. We know that Megillah can be read between the 11th and 15th, walled cities, unwalled cities, and villages that came into the big cities, Mondays and Thursdays. So not before, not afterwards. So Amar Levi Shlokish of Yochanan, Ikre Kan Los Eskodu. This is Los Eskodu. We have a Joshua, Los Asu Agudas Agudos. Don't make factions. You have some people wearing tefillin, some people not wearing tefillin, people laying this day, people laying that day. How is this allowed? So ask the Gemara, just interjects for a moment here. What's the drush of lo sasu agudas agudos? It's needed for the pasuk itself. What's the drush itself, the literal meaning of the pasuk? Damarachmana lo sasu chaburames. Don't, scratch one's blood, skin to draw blood when a person dies. So imkain, le makra lo siso godudu. My lo sis godudu. They are double safir. Shemamina lachi yudasa, double drasha. One is for the pashup shot of not to draw blood when mourning the loss of someone, and the other one is to have a drasha of don't make agudas agudas, don't make different factions. Vema kula hachi yudasa. Maybe it's all telling me the lo sagodu is all really just one drasha. Imkain lemakra lo sagodu, my lo siskodu. There's a double saf, a double dalad. That double letter tells me shemamina tarti. You can't reject this. The two drashas. One is the literal meaning, don't draw blood on the mace. And the other one is not to make different factions. And we'll get back to the answer in just a second. But look at Tosa in the bottom here. Tosa says that, very appropriate for today, the Levi Rav Chaim, Damar Rachman lo sasu chabur al meis, v'had amin and besot perak dalad b'misas bezdin, Sanhedrin daf samaches, gai Rabbi Kiva, shemaka asma Rabbi Yelazar, shenifdara. When Rabbi Yelazar, the great tzaddik, the Gadol Hador, when he died, Rabbi Kiva hid himself, ad she'adamo shows his la'aretz until blood was drawn. So they ask a question, how is that allowed? We just learned here that you can't make a chabura when someone dies. So how was Rabbi Kiva able to draw blood when Rabbi Elazar died? So he answers Tosas, V'omer, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Dika L'meimar, the Derech Srita Asa Rachmana Dafka. The Gemara is talking about the possible when you scratch yourself. That's Asa Derech Srita. But if you have some other form of drawing blood, whatever it might be, I don't know, just whatever, how a person wants to do it, that actually would be allowed. It's not the mitzias of blood drawing, it's the actions, the ma'isa srita, which would be awesome. That's one suggestion. And then the second suggestion, inami, achori hayam mitzar, a Torah rather, hayam mitzar. It wasn't because of the death of Rabbi Elazar, but it was a Torah that was lost. The issur is to draw blood because a person died. But when you're mourning the loss of the Torah, the loss in the world, like Reb Chaim, that would be allowed one to draw blood from the body. So now the Gemara says back to the story here. Gemara says how is it allowed to have different days of laning? Isn't it los asu agudos agudos? So Amar Leh, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ad Kan Lo Shanisa, do you not learn the Mishnah Maseches Psachim now? We're going from Purim to Pesach now. Makim Shenagu Lasas Melacha Bari Psachim Ad Chatzos Osun. Those are the practice to do Melacha, Erev Pesach until Chatzos. Because the date, you're allowed to. Makim Shenagu Shelo Lasas Ein Osun. But those who have the practice not to do work, then don't do work. So it depends on different places. Ah, isn't that Agudas Agudos? Some cities will do work, some cities won't do work. So just like you have this by there, you have it by here as well. It doesn't explain why, but don't ask a question by Megillah. If you're asking a question by Megillah, ask a question by Erev Pesach. This is something we have in many places then. So Amar Leh, so Reish Lakish is back. Amar Leh, Amina Lecha Ana Isura. I was telling him about an Isser. Apparently he felt that there's an Isser to read on the wrong day of Purim. There's an Isser. Not only is it not Yotz in the Mitzvah, but there's an Isser involved. The Amar of Shemin Bar Abba Amar Yochanan Lekaimis Yimei Purim Bizmaneim, to fulfill the days of Purim in its proper time is Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lehem, many days Chachamim Vat, and then if you read on the wrong day, it's also to read on the different day. Vat Amar Sli, but you tell me Minhago, you tell me it's about something from the Minhag. Minhag is very different. By Minhagim, I get it. You have different Minhagim from different places they come, but it comes to an Isser to do different Isserim. That wouldn't be appropriate. Look at Rashi to explain this a little bit better. Rashi says the last narrow line down here. Amina lecha ana isura. I told you, an isser says Reish Lakish, the asil hu rabbanon lebnei abesar, that the 14th people can't read on the 15th. Di boy lemiki de bechames, if they wanted to read on the 15th, lo mati, they're not allowed to. There's an isser involved here. The chayim bnei tesva b'yadalad v'dami l'shei toros, looks like two toros. Now this is an important line in Rashi. Rashi says it appears like two toros. The Rambam says it's actually going to create machlokas here. So there's a big machlokas here between Rambam and Rashi, and the many nafkaminas. Is it because it looks like two Torahs, or because it's going to be machlokas? There's going to be some fighting in between. We'll discuss it some tomorrow, some nafkaminas in the next stuff here. Either way, this is the back and forth between Reish Lakish and Yochanan. We'll just do one more line here, and then we'll stop here. The Gemara says, actually, you know what? This is probably a good place to stop. So we'll stop in the middle, and Mitzvah Hashem will review this, and we'll continue tomorrow. Should we quickly recap what we did today? I'll do it quickly. Fine. Actually, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. Okay. Let's have a wonderful day, everybody. And I'll see you tomorrow.